a car, but it's so much more than a car. Some of you might have heard a Saab. Some of you might have, you know, had one, didn't like it or loved it. But, you know, since I first got into a Saab, I realized it was the community of people, and it was many, many amazing stories that I had heard through the years. Now, we have with us today three people intimately involved in the culture of Saabs. First, Scott Patterson, who started Saabnet, I believe, in 1988. In 1988, if you drove a Saab and you drove by another Saab, it was like almost like the Harley-Davidson community. Like there was this deep connection. Because we're driving these really unusual car, four cylinder. I think the original green car. You know, this car was great on gas. It was designed in a way with such caring. You know, if someone at the factory in Sweden, which did happen, had died during, I believe, hit like a moose or a huge reindeer, they designed the roof so that didn't happen again. It was much more than just a car company. It was really an idea about how to make a car that was environmental, that you know, would function incredibly strong and had incredible longevity. And by the way, safety off the charts. There was no car other than Volvo that really had this incredible safety. And so, Scott, I'm happy we're on our next show on this Saab journey, this people journey, this community journey. And I was just thinking today, you're kind of an innovator with the internet. Like 1988, I didn't know the internet existed in 1988.
Actually, Glenn, we don't have Scott yet, but we do have Greg and Jim ready.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes you have one, sometimes you don't have the other. So, Greg, welcome. Welcome to, I call this the Saab program, the Saab journey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
So, it's going good. It's going good. You know, I just realized, when was the first time you actually ended up in a Saab? Before you became a mechanic, before, you know, you work with all these creative, wonderful people. When was the first time you got turned on to a Saab?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's funny you say that because the first time, I didn't even know it, but growing up, my dad used to talk about my neighbor, who we were really close with. We considered them like, you know, Uncle Ted and Auntie Ruth, even though they were just our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Always talked about how they had these crazy cars that were two-stroke and three-cylinder, and they were strange. And I knew nothing. I didn't know what they were talking about at the time. I didn't know anything about cars. Then later in life, I found out that those were, like, the first Saabs. They were, you had to mix oil with the gas. They were, you know, they were like moped motors in cars. So it was funny that everybody in my neighborhood knew that these people were, like, quirky because they had these cars. And it only struck me after I had worked at the dealership that that's what they were driving. And they probably bought them from the dealership that I worked at first.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably soon after they had opened. And outside of that, my first experience was trying to do e-brake slides in the winter in a Saab 900 Classic, mm-hmm. which is a front e-brake car. So you can't slide the back end of a Saab around when you pull the e-brake. So I was trying to show off for this girl that I was dating at the time and went flying into her driveway and yanked up on her e-brake and slid clear past the driveway into the snowbank. It was a pretty epic fail on my part. But yeah, that was my first experience in a Saab, and their family actually just... That's all they drove. They loved them. And it was my first time in one. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed with the car. I mean, it was a tank, you know, and it was unlike
yes.
anything on the road. So.
Yep.
Excuse me,
yep.
We have Scott now on.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Marco. Let me do this. Let me just do one thing here. I want to since Scott just joined us, Greg, I want to reintroduce him because I realized this morning, Greg and Brian, that really Scott, beyond just starting Saabnet in 1988, I was saying, Scott, I didn't know the internet existed in 1988. that you really kind of, you know, you're kind of an internet or a, you know, you're like a Steve Jobs in the sense that you started something before anybody even, you know, bought into it. And so I said earlier that, you know, when I was in my first Saab, I think my first Saab was a 900. It was a slow car, but I was so excited. I bought it from a neighbor. And I was like, I just so much wanted entrance into this community. And so when I actually found Saabnet, I didn't find it in 1988. I think I found it more in the 90s. But there was these stories on there. Like, as an example, in Connecticut, there was someone known as the Saab not Warrior, but there was people had these names, like the Saab Wizard. Oh, there was the Saab Wizard, and there was this other Saab guy. And here's the thing. You'd read stories on SaabNet, and I would talk to people. Like, some of these people would drive 100 miles to go see someone. Like, there was this... And it's what's noted on SaabNet, and I mentioned this last show, is that it's a very interesting community of people. I think SaabNet it says, Scott, that is an example. I think Saab drivers have more degrees than most people. And they're not looking for a car that was necessarily showy or had a brand that everybody would be, impressed with. It wasn't, that whole thing. It was kind of this other whole culture. I just want to ask you again, I forgot if we got into this last week, but what inspired you to be such a visionary or to design a website for this group of people? And by the way, to this day, I got to admit, I said this to Greg, I said this to Scott earlier the other day. I said, I still get really inspired when I see a Saab. And I'm like waving, and I realize, oh, they stopped waving. Early on when I had my Saab, it was a big thing. Like, we both are driving this weird car. Hello.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Saabs, and even to this day, with coming up to the final model or the model that NEVS is going to use, the 9.3. You know what I say about the 9.3?
What?
It's the most unique, beautiful looking sedan on the market. Saab was well known for its hatchbacks. They're just great looking hatchbacks, and in the 90s and the 2000s, they went fully with the sedan. With the 9.3 and the 9.5, well, you know what they did? They produced the most unique, beautiful-looking sedan on the market.
Yep.
And I think it appealed to people who don't want to drive something that looks like everything else on the road. Saab owners are real individuals, more than any other car-owning group that exists.
Greg, when I go to SaabNet and I see... I mean, what's really unique about SaabNet, by the way, is that when you go there... The people who sell the cars, what you feel in there is the spirit, which you don't really get on Craigslist or some of the other outlets. But the people often say on there, I want to pass this on to another Saab lover. And I gave Greg an example the other day of meeting someone who was kind of embarrassed to tell me why she wanted to keep her car. But she kind of told me that she had a 9.5, 1993. And she says, she said to me, quote, unquote, no one thinks this has any value. She goes, but I love this car, like, beyond belief. She was thinking about driving the car from our area, the Northampton, all the way to Santa Cruz, because she wasn't aware of such a thing as auto transport. And I've had several mechanics say to me, Greg and Scott, that the 9.5 to this day, even though Saab's long gone, suppose he might be coming back, that it might be one of the most valuable, drivable, wonderful cars on the road. And yet, I think a lot of people... I don't know how many appreciators there are, but the people that are really into the 9.5, for instance, God, they love that car. Greg, what you service these? I was at your wonderful open house in Hatfield. About 150 people came, and I love the location because it reminds me of such a Saab location. You're up in a, kind of more nature. And what's your comment on the 9.5? I know you actually really happen to like the 9.5, but
I love the 9.5. That's my car right there. When I started with Saab, that the 9.5 was, being unveiled. So I started in 97. It was the hot new car. The 98 model year was coming out, so the 9000 was going to be done. And I received all my first training. I was like the new guy and got all the, brand new car. The veteran guys at the shop weren't too hot on it. They wanted to work on the 900 Classic. And I fell in love with the 9.5. And it's funny, you say, like, with the way that people love the cars. I mean, when I was at the dealership, people would come in with, they come in with a 2009.5 with like 200,000 miles on it, gray, automatic, and they would buy a 2009.5 automatic gray with like 75,000 miles on it, like right off the lot, because they just don't want to give it up. And oftentimes they wouldn't even trade in that high mileage car. They just want to know that they're going to be able to keep driving the car. So they scoop up the low mileage version, even though it's identical. And you'd think, especially in the United States, where the buying culture is that you always want the next thing and, buy, and throw away the old thing. And it's just, it doesn't happen like that with, people that get into the cars. They're just as happy buying. I mean, they would buy an older model year just to be able to stay in a 9.5. So It's a little quirky. I love the customers. They're definitely interesting.
What do you notice about both the customers and your vision? You know, obviously, I've said this to many people. I'm so happy you're there in Hatfield because you're way, you know, by leaps and bounds, you're my choice of dealer. You know the car. You love the car. Even when I was there the other day and you told me about ordering these certain parts and how you order them from a place where it's a little less expensive, but it's still the genuine part. I could see you're really in tune with the car, with its people. What would you say that your vision there is, servicing this unique car, and by the way, a valley of many, many Saab drivers who don't know you're there. What would you say your vision is for in the automotive?
Well, you know, as you know, we do Volvo and Subaru as well, and Brian and I are both lifer Volvo guys too. The Saab as being like this. I mean, at this point, you know, like I was telling you the other day that some of the independents that have given up on Saab just say, "Oh, it's a dead car."
Yes.
Because you know there can only be fewer of them at this point unless they start making them and people actually buy them. You know, so I guess if you have this super long term goal of I'm going to work on these until I retire, and you look at it, what if they all go away? I mean, for me, I look at it, especially in our area, and I think that with the pool of cars here, I could work on the cars that are on the road now until I retire. You get that much mileage out of them, and I think it's important to have a shop that people trust having their Saab worked on. Otherwise, those cars are definitely going away, because when people feel like they can't have it serviced properly, I think they're gonna bail on it. So it was bad enough when the company declared bankruptcy. I think a lot of people bailed out of their car, which was a great thing for people who love them and wanted to get into a 9.5,
because
the market was flooded with reasonably priced Saabs. That figure has definitely rebounded a bit because especially like with Blue Book, they see that the cars are selling. So they put more value on the cars. At first, they just, were all flooded in there, and people, the auctions, all the cars were going to auction. So, as far as I'm concerned, I think as long as we can hold, this community, in our immediate, five college area here, and keep them, keep drivers in the Saabs, I think we'll be fine. I hate to think that people are getting rid of their cars because they were dissatisfied with...
Well, I want to ask you and Scott about this. And by the way, I want to totally acknowledge Volvo. Volvo was the doorway to Saab for me. When I discovered Volvo and the culture of Volvo drivers, the safety, that was another culture I totally loved. It just happened. I'd like the sporty feel to Saab, but I do want to get Brian on in a moment or two about Volvo. This is the most deceptive thing that's out there right now. I want to get your comments, Scott, and Greg, from Indie Automotive, IndieAutomotive.com, IndieAutomotive.com. Whether it's body shops or other misleading, mechanics, the word many, many times when I call people, I talk to people across the country, and by the way, I want to say I talked to Dennis the other day from Saabdoc.com, who in Kansas City is working on my... I just finished my 9.5, which is getting shipped here. Thank you, Dennis. He has people drive 200-300 miles to see him. A lot of people say right now, if we're going to call shops across the country, they'd say the parts are hard to get or not available. Now, when I speak to people like Greg, Scott, they don't say that to me. What's your take on that whole thing of that parts are not available? Because I see on your site... there's a lot of 9.5s moving to 9.3s. What's your take on that? I want to get both your comment on this. This is a conversation that's out there, that the parts are not available, the company's dead.
Well, I'll tell you, I was on a flight back from Florida yesterday, and I pulled out a recent copy of Nines magazine, which is the magazine of the Saab Club of North America.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did it have article after article from people praising and describing how much they enjoy their 9.5s. But also, I read a little bit about the Saab Parts Company. They're stamping body panels for these cars. I mean, the parts are available for these cars. There's no doubt about it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your comment, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like growing up in the Happy Valley here among all the other benefits that we have of living in this bubble here. I've just been spoiled with, I started at a dealership and was there for 16 years, but at the same time, because the owners of the dealership they were visionaries to bring Saab in anyways. I would have to think that people mm-hmm. thought they were crazy when they mm-hmm. first opened the dealership, you know, like over 50 years ago. You know, there was like, you know, all these offshoots of independents like me. So guys that started yeah. there and then opened up their own thing. So when I was working at the dealership, there were like four local Saab independents that were, you know, basically Saab only. And those guys were notorious for stockpiling parts cars and, you know, finding their own way and getting things. So a lot of that stuff is still there and available to me. It's just been, you know, like second nature to know that that stuff is available, and I'm sure that there are parts of the country where that is not the case. So people feel like I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm standing alone here. I've got mm-hmm. this job. Nobody wants mm-hmm. to help me. Mm-hmm. But as far as I've found, you know, other than a short time when, you know, during the bankruptcy when, I guess, you know, GM wasn't covering the vendor's bills. They were basically saying, I'm not going to make the parts for you. So
yes, yes.
They were holding out. So there was a period of time when parts were hard to come by, especially original equipment stuff, and some companies don't make an aftermarket version. So there was a few months there where, you know, it was touch and go with getting parts, but it's definitely turned around. But the greatest thing with, you know, with the 9.5 and, you know, that, you know, the 9.3, you know, the earlier generation 9.3, and even the 9.3 sports sedan now, they sold so many of them by only selling two cars at a time. You know, they don't have 100 models. The availability of used stuff for those cars is pretty good. You know, they're if you sold, you know, exclusively just 9.3s and 9.5s from 98 to, you know, 2007 or 8, then those cars are out there. So they're the scrapyards and the recyclers definitely have the parts available. So, you know, if you're willing to either do the work yourself or hook up with a shop that knows what they're doing, the parts are readily available. I mean, you definitely run into some roadblocks occasionally, but, you know, a lot of guys have figured out how to fix the things that you can't replace. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think it hasn't been that big of a struggle, I think. But that's, like I said, that's, you know, living in this little bubble here where it's been, you know, somewhat of a
paradise. I want to say real quick, we're talking to Greg Lawrence, Indy Automotive in Hatfield in the Western Massachusetts Pioneer Valley. This interview, this conversation will be up on Saabnet.com, and you could actually see all the pictures and all the stories and all the, you know, to this day, Scott, I find Saabnet to be such a homey, friendly place. I've never found a car site like Saabnet. That's why I asked you if you're going to start another car site, because it's so people-oriented. Like, I actually feel like they're like neighbors being honest about their car. It's a real unique feel that you have, that you still have at Saabnet. The feel hasn't changed. Was that your intention in the beginning, is to kind of, I mean, it seems representative of the car. That it's such a people-oriented, I don't know how to... I think everybody's being pretty honest about what the condition of the car is and what's going down.
Yeah, well, a few things go into that. One is Saab people generally tend to be, you know, very nice people and very honest people. The site, I have from the beginning said that it's a site for, you know, discussion of Saab topics based in mutual respect for, you know, for the people who are discussing things. And people take that to heart, and so there's, you know, there's no flaming on the site. There's, you know, there's disagreement, but it's very respectful and polite, and it's, you know, it just furthers the knowledge of Saab owners to have discourse in that manner.
Now, by the way, thank you, Scott. Greg, is there anything you want to say, didn't say? Because I want Brian to be happy with me when he sees me, and I want to get him on the air in a moment. Is there anything you wanted to say that I didn't ask you?
No, I think I'm just happy to be able to be on the show with you and make sure that, you know, the community knows that we're out here. I know I talked to you before about how I feel like the Volvo community around here is really tight. They network a lot, so you know they're the types that chase each other down in the parking lot to suggest to go to another shop or where to find something cool. I feel like I want the Saab community to be like that around here, and I don't think it has that level of following. So, yeah, I'm happy to be on just to get a little bit more exposure. And, you know, I have all the equipment and have done this for so long that I want to get my hands into these Saabs. And
you know, I think the worst thing is, you know, because I've got to know a lot of the SaabNet community mechanics on a first-name basis. As a matter of fact, one day I was having a challenge. I called Walter from L.A., who I got to know over the years, and he told me that, you know, basically I told him what I was hearing, and he goes, oh, they didn't tighten your lug nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Saved my life by a long-distance call. So, I just want to say, I think it's really significant to go to someone like Greg who really gets the car, because there's so many people who seem to go to other mechanics, and they... I don't know what it is. They come away with bad experiences. Then I went to a used car place yesterday, and I said to the guy, I said, hey, do you ever cover car, you know, carry Saabs? He goes, those are problem cars. And I said, have you ever studied that, Saabs? And he said, no. And I realized that there's a lot of misinformation. I feel like to go to someone like yourself. All right, Greg, I want to thank you so much. Let's get Brian to mention my first car, which is a Volvo. And I'll be seeing a lot of you, Greg. You're my favorite mechanic here in Massachusetts, and I encourage people to seek you out, because what it's kind of like a dentist said to me once. She said to me, you know, you could see me first or you could see me later. She was an oral surgeon. She said at the end of her day, there was all the dentist that attempted to pull a tooth coming to her office. So get your Saab done right and go to this place right here in the beautiful Pioneer Valley, Indy Automotive. So let's get Brian on here.
Hey,
thank
you,
thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome.
Hey, which Brian here.
So, Brian, I just want to ask, and welcome. Welcome, Brian. And I want to make sure, is it Bicarla? Bicarla?
Bucala.
Bucala.
Yep.
All right. Well, first of all, welcome. I want to ask you, Scott, just, God, you're in the stream of so many people who love the Swedish car, the Saab. What was your take? Did you have any experiences with Volvo yourself before Saab, or... I'm just curious to see what your reference is for Volvo.
No, not really. I went from Volkswagen right to Saab. Later on, many years later, I had a chance to do. I was invited to a Saab event where we were able to test drive the new 9.3 variants against the C40, the Volvo S40 or S40 maybe C40. I can't remember.
All right,
and a couple other models, but that's my only experience with Volvo.
Well, you know. My first experience, I was really into tennis, and Volvo sponsored one of the best tournaments in the world. It was called the Volvo. It was up in Conway, New Hampshire. And all the ads for Volvos were done by orthopedic surgeons, a lot of them that I would see. And I thought, wow, here's another car that's a four-cylinder car that seems to last forever. It's incredibly safe. Brian, what was your introduction to Volvo?
Introduction to Volvo?
Yeah.
Probably the 240 wagon.
Yep.
You know, that big box.
The unstoppable tank.
Box of a car. Exactly.
Yeah.
Darn near close to a farm tractor as far as the engine and stuff was. But, yeah, that was probably one of my first introductions. One of my second introductions probably was I worked for a long time for a Ford dealership.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get into a performance motoring. Used to be over in Hadley, Mass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Completely privateer, Volvo. Strictly business, and you know, started working over there. Got the opportunity to get into the shop. For one thing, it was just a huge longevity of that shop, and got the opportunity to come in. And I love the car make. Yeah, and there's quite a bit similar between the Volvos and the Saabs as far as you know that same car running for so many years, using the same parts and stuff and same blocks. And
well, you know, Brian. And Scott, I did my best to get my daughter into a Saab, but you know she said to me, "Dad, I don't want to get a Saab. They're problems." Like there's a thought pollution out there that Saabs break down, but in fact that Volvos are incredibly reliable. So actually, I focused on getting her a Volvo. We actually ended up getting her a Prius, but I realized it seemed that I spoke to when I was talking to people in LA had such positive references for Volvo. Has the Volvo even working on maybe like
2 minutes?
2 minutes. Thanks, Marco. Just, we got 2 minutes, Brian, but do you feel like now that people have the same reference to Volvos as being this kind of unstoppable, very safe car that's incredibly well-made? Is that primarily still...
Any of our customers who have ever been in an accident in one or even just driven one, And the following is just like, it's like a cult following with them. Everybody, they love their cars. Once in a while, you'll see a problem car, but I think that's across the board with any manufacturer.
Say something that you wanted to say. Is there anything you want to say to the people in the Valley or anywhere in the country about Volvos or how, I don't know. Like, what's your vision for servicing Volvos at Indy Automotive?
I guess kind of keeping up our trend and keeping up on the new model stuff. I guess we have a really good thing going right now where we are. We've had a huge following with that open house a couple weekends ago.
That was great.
Some great support. It was close to 150 people here, and for a first-year shop, we're getting some great publicity, and our name just keeps spreading further and further.
Well, I sat the other day. I was at Whole Foods, and I was telling someone about Indy Automotive, and I recommended because he was having some problems getting his Volvo service. I want to recommend people do go to someone who's really trained and educated like you and Greg. So thank you, Brian. Thanks,
thank you
Indy
much.
Automotive. And check out the reruns or the audio file of this on Saabnet.com. Thanks again, Scott, very much. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
My best.